If you would like to follow along, there's the sermon notes with more fill-in-the-blanks than usual, but they might help guide you if you'd like to do that. We will focus on a few verses from Acts 20, our first reading, verses 28 through 30. And then also from Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. To start, I reread verse 28 of Acts 20. Paul said, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." When I looked at the text that was normally for this Sunday in Epiphany, I preached on it actually already. It's a 3-year series. I was here 3 years ago, and I had preached on that. And so I also looked, sometimes I look for the festivals that just are nearby that Sunday, and this festival of St. Titus was scheduled for Friday. And I looked at the text for there and I thought, it's good for us to look at this with the transition from pastor to pastor, with the church council going to meet with Pastor Shiwi on Monday night. What does Scripture say about pastors and as a congregation and as individuals? What are good things to remember? Now, the context of this passage in Acts 20, it's actually a longer passage, but St. Paul has been training actually the pastors in that whole area around the city of Ephesus, in the area of what we would call Turkey today. He has been training pastors for 3 years. And at this point, he is going to move on, and he calls them all together. And he reminds them of some main things to remember as he goes. And so it's really a remarkable little section of Acts because we have a longer teaching of Paul, what he taught the pastors who were going to stay and do the work. And what we see over and over again in Scripture is that this office of pastor, this person as pastor, is God's choice and God's work. He's working and doing these things in his church. Did you notice that Paul said, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers? And there, right away, straight out in the beginning of his little speech towards them, he's saying the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, this position of pastors. We know all these policies and procedures, especially in our church bodies today. But from the get-go, the fundamental thing is the Holy Spirit is the one that is doing it. It's God's pastor and it's God's church. His choice and his action. There's this term that's translated here, overseer, and then also we see in the Titus reading, elder. And we see in the Titus reading, now there's some differences among denominations in this, but historically in the Roman Catholic Church, in the Lutheran Church, and other Protestant churches, we see that there's this one position, this pastoral position, sometimes there's pastor and elder, and what we call our elders today is different. But in the Scriptures, this pastor and elder is the one position. This overseer, episcopus, and then this elder, the presbyterios. We'll see in Titus, it's the one position. But that was established right from the beginning. That was left behind from the apostles and from those who followed that first generation. It was this generation then of trained pastors that was spread out throughout wherever there was Christians gathered and coming up. And that is God's choice too. Right from the beginning, St. Paul and others were training others to follow them and follow the Old Testament and the New Testament writings as they were being written. Did you also notice that Paul said, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. It's God's church. It's the death of Jesus Christ, which bought us all and made us all his own. And so you heard me talking to the children, the pastors, but to point people to Jesus, the great good shepherd. That's what we just sang about. He is our great good shepherd. And so the pastor's position is to know that and to remind people that and point to and declare you are bought with the blood of God. His son died for you. And that is certain and powerful and sure and leads you and gives you to eternal life. And part of the very position of pastor is designed by God to remind people and teach people about that. He has some advice, some teachings for them, and we can only but imagine what detail went into during his 3 years with these fellows. But he says, at the beginning of that, he said, this caught me as I was studying it, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Don't forget yourselves. You also are sheep. You also are accosted by the devil. You also have predators going after you, right, Barrett? There's predators going after any of the sheep. And you, watch yourselves and all of God's flock. And that term there is be aware, be cautious, give heed to. So be careful, pay attention to what's going on in your own lives and that of the flock. When he says there that God, the Holy Spirit, has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Now, that word care there, it's a fine translation, but behind it is to shepherd. To shepherd God's people, the flock of God. The flock of God and the verb go together there. To shepherd the flock of God. So, the duties of the pastor is to watch out for the flock of God, to make sure that they know the one good shepherd, to make sure they're guarded and protected by the one good shepherd. The pastor can't go against the devil. The devil will fool the pastor, the devil will trick the pastor, just like he fools and tricks everybody. But if together we rely on Christ, the one good shepherd, and take his teachings, he will protect us. The pastor is also concerned that there is spiritual birth and spiritual life among God's people. From what? From Jesus Christ. From his teachings. From his baptism that he gives. From his Lord's Supper. That is the duty of the pastor, to point to Christ in everything that he has given to us. Paul was worried about what would happen when he left, how the devil might come in and scatter the flock, tempt people away from faith in Jesus Christ, tempt people away from looking to Jesus. He said in verse 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30, and from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That's what Paul is worried about. He's worried about the false teachings, the twisted teachings that is going to follow. He is not overly concerned that they might die for the faith, that they would not have God's love or forgiveness. He's not concerned about that. He's worried that they're going to have fierce wolves come in that attack them. How? With twisted teachings. Teachings that are wrong, teachings that are not from Christ. And that word twisted there, it can be translated a number of ways, but I found it very interesting. It means to distort. It means to misinterpret. It means to be morally corrupt doctrine. And think about that. So the pastor helps the whole congregation keep the thinking straight so that the teachings are not distorted or misinterpreted or morally corrupted. That's what he's concerned about. That's what their task is. So there's distinctions and differences between pastors. I don't need to tell you that. You've had many different types of pastors here at Zion. You see many types around at different churches. But this is the task that all pastors, if they're a faithful pastor, is to do and be concerned about. That the teachings would be right, would lead them to Christ, would be teachings of Christ. And that his teachings with the water and baptism, his teachings of the Lord's Supper, are right. And to protect against those fierce wolves. You look in our society today. Here and there, there is attacks in our U.S. society. Here and there, there are attacks legally against the church, or it's just here and there. But the teachings in society that are against God's word, that is all over, everywhere. And that is what we have to be aware of, that we wouldn't lose sight that what God has given us in Scripture, what God has done for us in his Son, hang on to these things. Going over to the Titus reading. So these are things that God will do, wants to accomplish through any pastor at all. Well, now Titus is interesting because it's a little bit of specifics about the person or the situation. And here, we see that God works through human institutions, that God works through human patterns and policies to do and to give his pastors to the church and that they may work. Titus is a co-worker with Paul. Titus is himself a pastor. And we also see, it's very clear in the text, that Titus's job was to complete, to fulfill what was still left to be done in Crete. As a missionary in Ghana, this was a very important little verse for me. Because the work in the Kankomba area was starting, but there's way too many baptized people, way too many, and no pastors. And that's happened here in Titus too. It's going out in towns on the island of Crete, but they have no pastors, no shepherds, under shepherds there. And Paul tells Titus, now look, I'm giving you charge to make sure there are elders given to all these different towns where we have Christians gathering, where we have quote-unquote congregations. That's a human element. Paul chose Titus to do it. That's a human decision to carry out God's work. Titus had ways to follow. He had a structure to follow. And we'll see he had advice and teachings from Paul to follow. Human advice that goes along with God's word so that God will work through these things to provide pastors for his people. So also, you'll discover again, we have in the Missouri Synod ways of doing things, but it's all for the purpose of, that there be a pastor among God's people so that people are fed and nurtured and protected from twisted teachings. So he leaves Titus behind in Crete to do this work. He couldn't do it all himself. He had to move on. And he wanted, what did he want to see? To complete this work of appointing elders, pastors. Now, in two verses later, you'll see the overseer and then elder. And you see right here in Titus how these two words are really talking about the two positions, same position, but two different aspects. An elder, a leader of the people, an overseer of God's flock. The same position, spoken of in two different words. Now you can read yourselves, and we've read it already in the scripture reading, verses 6 through 8. More now about specifics of the person himself. And here we see that there's a concern about the family life of the pastor, and there's concern about the character of the person. And here we see that now you get into more, okay, what is that person like? You know, what are his gifts and abilities? But certainly these things are asked of all pastors. So as you think about and see different possibilities, for a pastor, and whatever happens, these are the basics. These are the fundamentals that are so important. And each one of these words in here is like a Bible study in itself. But just here, as you read through them, you can see the characteristics that God says through Paul to Titus. These are the characteristics of those that should be appointed as the overseers, as the elders in the towns and villages. One thing I would, and you've been very generous with me, but continue to think about this, to enable the man, the pastor, to do these things, to enable them to take care of their family, to enable them to shine in the characteristics and gifts that God has given them. That's really important. Council members, you will hear that your responsibility is to help the pastor. Help the pastor shine out those God-given gifts. That's so important. Whether you get an older guy who's kind of already shining or kind of people nobody's like, or if you get a candidate, somebody new and fresh from the candidate, from the seminary, and some of those guys actually are older, but some are quite young. Whatever happens, that in that particular, what God has given to that person to serve God's people, to allow that to shine out and to be a blessing to the whole church, not only members here, but the whole community and church. And here also then, the last few little verses, I think it's just one verse long, in that section from Titus, verse 9, Titus 1, verse 9, there's so much in that one verse. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. That's saying the same thing that Paul wrote, to protect from twisted teachings and twisted doctrines. It is not easy, as now we have not only the scriptures and given in a different language and trying to figure that out, but then also the history of the church gone along. And we as Lutherans know that along the way, the word got a little bit changed and not right, especially in the teaching of justification, and so there was a reformation, and that church history continues to blossom out the church, and some go astray and some don't, and that is all a lot to keep in your head. And so whether it's an older pastor or a new candidate that comes out is a lot to be kept faithful as taught. That's what we want. It's as taught, as the Apostles' Creed teaches, as the Nicene Creed teaches, so that we don't stray away. And as Lutherans, as the Lutheran doctrine teaches, which is not different from Scripture, but an understanding of Scripture. The pastor, the Lutheran pastor, is to stay as taught. And as you have any pastor at all, as that pastor stands as taught, that is what they're supposed to do. And that is a high value to any of us, no matter what the pastor is like personally, or beauty, or ugly, or tall, or short, or whatever. As taught, and able to give instruction in sound doctrine. That's what Paul told Titus. You ought to be able to give instruction in sound doctrine. And so, as a congregation, we value those things, that we're hearing God's word impurely, and we can see and understand how this is coming from God's word and how it's making itself in our lives, coming true in our lives. And Paul also said there, and he's also able to rebuke those who contradict it. To warn. That's the warning off the predator. To warn. Be careful about that teaching. Be careful about that way. Watch out in society. These things that are happening, that's not of God's word. That's not of God's will. That the pastor would do that. When the pastor is doing these things, he's doing what a pastor should. So there's many other things a pastor might do. Oh, he might have a beautiful voice to lead the liturgy or not. Or he might have a good presentation style or maybe a little weaker, has to work on it. Or he might have a good one-on-one relationship with people, or maybe he's a little bit more withdrawn. But is the pastor overall teaching God's word, warning people what is against God's word? These are the things we need as a congregation, because we need to know Christ and his word and to not let anything distract us from there, and let the pastor help us to know Christ in that way. So what do we do at this point? We pray. We continually pray. We pray while you have a pastor like me that's here. You pray while you're thinking about another pastor. You pray for God's guidance. We pray because this is God's action and God's will. That there are pastors among God's people is God's will. There is no doubt. That's why I left you behind on Crete, Timothy, Titus, so that you might fill out what was yet undone and appoint elders, appoint pastors in every town and village. That is God's will. So we can confidently pray that God would guide us to know how he wants to meet the spiritual needs of Zion, to know what policy and procedures we have to follow. All these things are part of his will. It doesn't always seem like it, because we look at it and say, oh man, I don't know about that guy or that guy. I hope we don't get a guy like that. I hope we get a guy like that. But God's will is that the pastor would help us to know and hear and learn about Jesus and to follow him. I won't speak like this very often, but the text was here. I'm thinking the council is starting to see Pastor Shiwi very soon. And so, as your brother in Christ, think on these things. Think on these things. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for these words of Paul to the pastors in the area of Ephesus and for Paul's writings to Titus to help us to know how you bless your congregations, your people with shepherds, with under-shepherds, to point to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And we ask you to open our hearts and minds all the time to the things that are so important for us, that we would hear your word and receive your sacraments, that we obey your word, and that we are not fooled by the world's twisted teachings. We ask your blessings upon the church council and the meetings with Pastor Shiwi and the whole congregation. We know it is your will that your people are fed with your word by good pastors. And we pray that your will be done today, tomorrow, and every day until Jesus returns for all of us. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, at this time we have the installation of, first we sing two verses of Hear Us, Father, When We Pray, 773. During the first verse, the offering can be brought forwards. During the second verse, the new church council members come forwards. And church council members, bring your orange sheet. We sing.